TopSecret.com presents a special 9/11 edition of the Skeptic Overview.
Today we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country. I have spoken to the Vice President, to the Governor of New York, to the Director of the FBI, and have ordered that the full resources of the federal government go to help the victims and their families, and to conduct a full-scale investigation to hunt down and to find those folks who committed this act. Terrorism against our nation will not stand.
Your government failed you. Those entrusted with protecting you failed you. And I failed you. We tried hard, but that doesn't matter because we failed. And for that failure, I would ask, once all the facts are out, for your understanding and for your forgiveness.
And now, the Skeptic Overlord answers your 9/11 questions.
Well, welcome to this special edition, I suppose, of the Skeptic Overview. It's Sunday, September 10th, 2006, the eve of the five-year anniversary of the attacks on September 11. And there's a number of questions posted in the thread, and we'll try to get to all of those, well, most of those tonight. There's a few questions I'm simply not qualified to respond to, and we'll let those pass, and perhaps in the pod thread, some other people will chime in. It'd be fantastic if someone who does have some qualifications or who has done some research on the other questions could chime in on this pod thread. That'd be fantastic. So let's jump right into it. And first off, there's Thickhead with a question regarding the truth movement. I'm wondering exactly what you saw and what you think about the conspiracies and the 9/11 truth movement. I'm also wondering if you're going to New York City on Monday in support of either Bush or the truth movement. Well, I work in New York, first of all, and unfortunately I'm not going to be able to take any time out to do anything like that on the anniversary. I have some pressing things on the calendar, so that's just not possible. Excuse me. So, during the day, I really didn't see a whole lot. Again, I was working on 9/11, just as I'll be busy tomorrow. And I wrote my accounts in the thread, ATS Member Stories. Excuse me again, jeez. And you can pretty much see what happened to me or the experiences I had and my coworkers and people close to me on that day. And during the events of the day, I really didn't see anything that you would call a conspiracy. So my discussions along those lines were purely inspired by what I was reading and talking about online. As far as the 9/11 truth movement, that topic crops up quite a bit in the list of questions, so I will respond to that in detail as things go on. But in general, I feel it is a very well-intended group who is trying indeed to get to the bottom of things and uncover what appears to be discrepancies in the official story. Obviously, we all know that on ATS. And more importantly, what certainly looks to be some significant, at least, cover-ups within the federal government related to 9/11 issues, if not outright conspiratorial events that led to the attacks. So we all wish the truth movement well. We know it's not going so well for them, given some of the topics that crop up, and we'll get into that a little bit further in the podcast. Astygia, at least I guess that's what the knee how the name is pronounced. In regards to the collapse, what is the driving force behind how the building came down that explosives took down the World Trade Center? Well, I don't necessarily subscribe to the theory that demolitions brought down the World Trade Center. That has been, as we all know, inspired by the puffs of smoke and the nature in which the buildings fell, which I will admit, those two things taken together are rather compelling pieces of information that would drive someone to think that, well, gee, what's going on there? Were these buildings demolished? And there certainly are a lot of questions, a lot of issues, for example, regarding the trace elements that looks like thermite or other explosions, explosives were used, rather, and explosions heard by the firefighters that were in and around the building of the day. So I'm not necessarily going to say the jury is out. There is some doubt. But I still tend to think, leaning in the direction that these buildings were suffered tremendous kinetic energy from the impact of the aircraft, tremendous damage, and that resulted in what appears to be a controlled demolition in the way they fell. Also, second part of his question, what is the official stance for how World Trade Center Building 7 fell, and what is the unofficial story? Well, we've bounced around that question quite a bit on the discussion boards, and the official story is essentially that the building was unsavable, and it's time to just pull back and let the building collapse. There was some damage to the building from the collapse of the North Tower, I believe it was. If you were in New York City and you were glued to the TV like I was at the time, quite a bit of coverage, at least locally, on New York One, which is sort of our local version of CNN that's specific to New York City, was devoted to watching Building 7 as it was anticipated to fall because the crews pulled back. I'm not sure if that's available in the archive at New York One, but that's something maybe some members could look into. And the unofficial theory, there's a lot of those, but some of the perhaps more compelling theories is that there was a clandestine office for the CIA in that building, and it was needed to be demolished because they didn't want rescue workers and other unclassified people uncovering the classified material that might have been contained in that office.
Situation right now is the massive rescue effort that's going on right now. We're trying to evacuate thousands and thousands of people. We have as many of our police and fire personnel as we have down in the southern part of Manhattan, evacuating people, trying to save as many lives as possible. We've been in communication with Governor Pataki, who's gotten the National Guard ready, and they're going to come in and relieve us a little bit later in the day. And we've spoken to the White House, and the urban search and rescue teams will come here also to assist us. But right now, it's the New York City Police and Fire, EMS, that are down there trying to evacuate as many people as we possibly can. And we've asked everyone to leave Lower Manhattan if they can on their own so that it relieves our efforts. And this will be going on all day. It's a horrible, horrible tragedy.
Chisler has a question regarding the, again, staying with the collapse topic. What are your opinions on the collapse of the buildings? The fact that they fell at free fall speed is something that has irked me for a while. What about World Trade Center 7? No plane hit it, yet it collapsed several hours later. I found it strange that such a small percentage of the population was even aware that Building 7 fell on this day. Why do you think it is that so many people knew of the Twin Towers, but not Building 7? Well, I just think we had a lot of focus on the Twin Towers, and it was called the Twin Towers, Twin Towers this, Twin Towers that. So I'm sure that had the nature of the coverage that tended to focus on the two towers. And if you are outside of New York, or if you're not interested in conspiracy theories, you just tend not to be aware of Building 7 and what happened there. And I think I covered my opinions on what happened to the collapse of the buildings. But to elaborate just a bit, I mean, you're talking about quite a bit of kinetic energy transferred to those buildings when the airplanes hit at near top speed, pretty fully laden with fuel, And the ensuing fires, there's a lot of debate whether the fires were hot enough to soften the steel that would result in the collapse of the buildings. The official explanation for that is the impact of the crash shook off the fireproofing from the steel members of the building, and that's certainly plausible, which then leads to the fact that the buildings were so heavily damaged that it was merely a matter of time. And some of the survivor accounts indicate that as they were escaping the buildings just in time, they did feel as though the buildings were swaying and there was some movement and thus urgency to get the hell out of there. Jim Abeen, again, sticking with a collapse. This is, by the way, the collapse appears to be the most of the World Trade Center appears to be the most popular thing here. I know that most people say that the little puffs of smoke coming out of the trade centers when they were collapsing were because of the pressure. I don't believe that. What's your explanation for this? Well, that's one area where the overlord is flummoxed. It's a number of things. I tend not to think it was pressure in the individual floors pushing the windows out. I just think that there was too much air escaping out the top, or able to escape out the top. I don't think that we're talking about a pancaking of sealed floors, and thus the air pressure is exploding. I don't think that's it at all. I also tend to think if there were explosive devices on that exterior shell, which, by the way, is one of the main support structures for the building, that steel exterior, that we'd see flashes rather than puffs of smoke. Puffs of smoke tend to indicate some type of an internal explosion on a concrete member. And as we've seen how the building is constructed, again, I'm not an expert on this, I tend to think that we would not see puffs of smoke. On the other hand, it certainly does appear as though it is a planned charges that would result in bringing the building down. Certainly well-timed, if that's the case. But I don't subscribe to that theory. I don't know how to pronounce this name. Chibadai RRR. I'm sorry, but as others have suggested, neither the weight of the top compressed portion falling nor heat could have turned those buildings into dust in, what, 10 seconds? Well, those buildings were very heavy. We're talking about hundreds of floors. He had a link to a building, a small building being demolished that didn't quite make it. And it appears to be only 10 or 12 floors high, if that. It's mostly concrete construction. And there were charges in the bottom portion, and the building fell, looks like, maybe 20, 25 feet, and then just was turned into the Leaning Tower of Pittsburgh or something, or wherever it was. But that's very different than these two massive buildings that together combined to equal all of the office space in downtown Atlanta, if you just think about that for a second. So they were very heavy. And I'm sure we had a lot of issues with energy transference and heat being generated just from the collapse. On the other hand, I do agree that I'm waffling here, aren't I? But I'm just trying to cover the bases. While I do lean towards the thought that nothing more than two passenger jets traveling at high rate of speed brought these buildings down, I do agree there are some unusual questions, and among those is the speed and symmetry of the fall of the buildings, which is indeed unusual. I will give that. And Spencer Johnstone continues to stay in the theme of the World Trade Center collapse. How come we hear audio clips from the firefighters inside the World Trade Center of hearing explosions on their way up to rescue everyone? Yet, some would make us believe there were no explosions, so whatever. Well, if you hear a huge impact, and we're talking about massive impact and a massive pieces of building rubbing against each other just a few hundred yards away in the other building, It could indeed sound like explosions. And as major portions of the building break and crumble, again, those things are certainly going to be quite loud. And as it reverberates through the inside of a building, I can imagine it certainly would sound like an explosion. Which is not to say that something in the building didn't indeed explode. We just don't know what at this point. He continues to ask, how come there's never been an official report on the reasons why Building 7 was pulled? Well, I think there was, and we can find that. I remember, like I said, watching New York 1 on that day when the reporter saying that everyone has been pulled back and the building is expected to fall because it's unsavable. How come there was still hotspots days or weeks after the building collapsed? The hotspots should not have been there if the building collapsed without explosion. Well, I don't know if that's the case. We've certainly seen cases where fires can smolder for quite a long time, depending on the size and the availability of oxygen and how compressed everything is. So, excuse me. I don't know if we can say that officially. There certainly was a lot of heat involved, a lot of fire involved. And definitely, as all that steel fell and combined and crumbled and everything, there was a lot of energy transference and a lot of heat, like I said, being generated. So I tend to think that was part of the equation here.
And so there's a lot that we can do, and the point I also want to make is that no country is safe from this kind of attack. It crosses every geographic boundary, social boundary, religious boundary, cultural boundary, and we must see it in those terms and respond in a unified way.
I warned you in the thread that some of the hardcore 9/11 conspiracy fans, if you will, may not like some of my answers, and we're certainly getting deep into what is likely ruffling the feathers of many people who subscribe to a lot of these conspiracy details within the collapse and nature of the attack. Masiosaur, again, on the collapse, there's the famed molten material flowing out of the corner of the South Tower before collapse. What is a possible source for this? I have to admit, I don't know what that is. I've seen a lot about this event and read a lot and heard a lot, but that's something, unless it was the jet fuel that came down the elevator, I really don't recall hearing about this one. So maybe somebody can chime in on a podcast reply and help with that. What did Larry Silverstein really mean when he said pull it? And he goes on to ask about that. Again, there's a lot of speculation around that. And he could have meant a number of things. And indeed, some of them might have some nefarious meaning. But I go back to what I saw in New York 1 that day. And if there's any New Yorkers who were religiously watching the television that day, they might concur that indeed... they might agree that the coverage of the day indicated that Building 7 was anticipated to come down. And PM Explorer we're now leaving the realm of the World Trade Center collapse and getting into some other topics. PM Explorer says, I feel that a new conspiracy theory seems to emerge with every passing week. Despite the hard work of Scholars for 9/11 Truth and the numerous other interest groups, my question is, are we any closer to proving that the U.S. government was complicit in the attacks? No, we're not. Sorry to say. However, I will caution that this... We have a lot of people that come on Above Top Secret, and I've seen a lot of people on the other sites that deal with these theories that really seem to take enjoyment out of finding ways to blame or finding details that could cause one to blame the U.S. government for being intimately involved in staging and organizing these attacks. And that's not something we should take enjoyment from, folks. That's our worst fears. And many of us think our worst fears are coming true, and that may be the case. But these are not we should enjoy discussing from an entertainment standpoint. And we seem to see a lot of that in 9/11 conspiracy theorists. So getting back to the question, no, we're not any closer, but we are We are picking up tantalizing details of, I think, what is assuredly aspects of foreknowledge that were either ignored on purpose because people that had that foreknowledge anticipated that the attacks could be used to advantage, or they were simply, you know, screwing up and just didn't notice the severity of the material coming across their desk and didn't anticipate that the attacks would be of this magnitude, or didn't care. That's possibly the case. Now, that's one side of the conspiracy theories that are more cover-up and scandal. On the other side of government complicity in staging the attacks, something similar to Project Northwoods, which involved the planning to use passenger aircraft to crash into buildings as a pretext to invade Cuba. We certainly know that a government like the U.S. government is possible of at least creating these plans as a pretext to invade foreign nations. So somewhere in between the spectrum of those two points, I'm sure the truth lies. And as we continue to dig, it'll be discovered. Wolfpack 51, what would be the deciding issue to get a real investigation sanctioned by the government and transparent in its actions so as to be true and exact in its findings? Well, the deciding issue is certainly going to need to be someone akin to Deep Throat, a whistleblower, someone from the inside who is able to shed some light on some important aspect of the attacks or the response to the attacks or preparation for the attacks that needs to be investigated. And that's likely the case that likely the only reason, the only way we're going to see anything that's beyond what we're seeing now.
Our feeling was all along that more and more people in this city, some of us thought most people in this city and many people in the country, are not accepting the official story of 9/11. That was always strong, and we got a big confirmation of that 2 weeks ago with the publication of the representative poll of New York State residents and city residents by Zogby. Half of the people in this poll in New York City itself believed that high officials knew the September 11th attacks were coming and consciously failed to take action. Consciously failed. One half of New York City. But this was also 41% of the people upstate, which may tell us something about what people think in this country as a whole. And 66% of this city are calling for a new criminal investigation by the New York State Attorney's Office. What is making...
Okay, Hale 9000 asks, would you agree that the government couldn't be behind the attacks because it would undoubtedly bring the country together, which it has, when their objective is to divide it? And as a precursor to that question, he gets into a description of how the two-party system is dividing the country through blame game politics, and that is very true. I urge every ATS member interested in conspiracies to do some historical research. It will shed an enormous amount of light on what's happening today if you research even the two conspiracies that have been proven, have been brought to light, and have seen people prosecuted is the Watergate conspiracy and Iran-Contra. And especially follow the threads of Iran-Contra after the Ali North trial faded and more information came to light as a result of that. In that case, it's been uncovered and is in several mainstream sources. You don't need to go to conspiracy websites. You can go to Wikipedia and a number of other sources. I even believe some of the archives of CNN has a lot of this or some of this material. You can discover that the Reagan administration, before they were actually in office, the administration elect, if you will, actually negotiated with terrorists who were holding U.S. citizens as hostage. So as you learn more and more about the proven conspiracies, and especially the possible conspiracies like what's uncovered through the planning for Operation Northwoods, you begin to get a sense of the picture of how... how these people, if you will, think that would plan or organize such a thing. They don't necessarily care about the continental population. They're more interested in the foreign policy and the effects of what they're doing would have on the forward movement of foreign policy, that is. So, if you will, consider the Partnership for a New American Century is often fingered as the neoconservative group that is behind the 9/11 planning. Their long-term foreign policy is for military involvement in the Middle East. At least that's an aspect of it. So certainly these attacks make a wonderful pretext for traveling down that road. And purely from a point A to point B, connecting the dots, adding two and two together, that's the most likely general path to follow. So as you look more at historical conspiracies, a lot of what is possible in this particular aspect as possible big picture conspiracies related to 9/11, a lot of that will come to light. So I urge you to follow that path. Loam asks, based on your proximity to the site, have you suffered any ill effects? other than losing my mind for a few days, no long-term effects. There were a few physical effects of stress, as a lot of New Yorkers had in the 3 to 4 months following the attacks, but otherwise nothing long-term. JLC163, what were some of the oddest individual stories to the incident? Well, I remember one story, and it actually got brief mention on some local news here. I don't think it was New York One. I think it was a local network affiliate, and circulated a lot in the local rumor mill that apparently someone had survived the collapse from high up in the 90th, above the 90th floor by essentially surfing down a piece of debris as the building collapsed. And some of you may have actually heard of this. It's not true, but a lot of weird stories like that emerged. And there's a lot of even pictures of faces and devil faces in the smoke as they billowed out the building. And so those are certainly odd stories. Also the story that emerged soon after the attacks and how number 11 surfaced in all of a lot of the words connected to the event, and in reality, it was very contrived. Maybe only 50%, if that. That's generous. Of the 11s, were actually numerologically correct. I don't know if that's a word. Numerologically, well, it is now. So again, very strange. Captain Lazy, do you agree that a person's stance on 9/11 is based mostly on opinion? No. I believe that it's mostly based on interpretation and perception. As they, everyone, we've certainly seen it in the 9/11 threads, literally everyone who sees this material, who is exposed to the conspiracy angles with the details of this attack, ends up with a very different takeaway on the events, and that is their own interpretation. Certainly, that is opinion, but it really does seem to be where everyone's got a different idea. Grimm's Terror has a timely question that's rather interesting. Lately, I've heard talk that the president is saying that conspiracy theorists are terrorists, that we recruit for or help the terrorist cause. This sudden turn worries me. What are your thoughts on this? Worries me, too. if suddenly the government would classify the staff and members of above top secret as terrorists, then we're in trouble, folks. that's not a good place to be. I think he was mostly just spewing in that case, but we certainly have seen the administration reference conspiracy theorists quite a bit early on, even before there were a lot of conspiracy theory discussion online. There was talk of, well, don't listen to those crazy conspiracy theorists. They're just nutty. You know, there's going to be a lot of conspiracy theories about this, as if there was some anticipation that maybe we slipped up in a couple places and somebody might catch that. So it is alarming to hear someone that high up, well, as high as you can get in the administration, comparing conspiracy theorists to terrorists. And we don't know if that's the next step in a new tactic on fighting the rumors, but it certainly is worth watching, and we certainly will be watching that.
An AboveTopSecret.com podcast in reply to a podcast thread by Skeptic Overlord. I have two questions I would like to ask. The first question I would like to ask is, how do you believe the people of America have changed since 9/11? The second question I would like to ask is, how do you believe the people of the world have changed since 9/11? Thank you.
Well, I think the people of America have had the fear of terrorism driven into them by the administration, and that's a concern. I don't think the war on terrorism has any validity. Well, it has some validity, but not nearly what the government would have us think. So that's an issue. But the people have changed, where literally there's the constant looking over your shoulder, wondering whose bag that is, wondering if someone left it there, what's in it, looking at people sideways, looking at foreigners with a bit of a strange glance. It's that aspect of it isn't so bad here in New York City. It's a very diverse and community populated with a lot of different cultures, and we're used to that here. But as you get out into the area west of the Hudson, it is different. There is more fear of people in general that appear to be maybe possibly. Could they be? Are they Arab? Are they Islams? Are they Muslims? Do they have a bomb in their car? There is a lot of that, and that's disturbing. As far as people in the world, I hate to say it, but I think you're scared of us. I think the world is concerned about what the U.S. is doing in response to these terrorist attacks, and certainly there is a global concern over terrorism, as the fear of terrorism continues to be driven into everyone possible. That's an aspect of it. But there's also a concern, a growing concern, even in some recent polls out of Canada, that the U.S. is a problem, not necessarily in general, but more so because of the way it's handling the response to the war on terrorism, so to speak.
NORAD had earlier said that the FAA notified it about at 8:43 about that flight being hijacked. Or the news story is that they didn't know until 9:03, that is when it crashed. So that's a 20-minute difference. Now, why in the world, if the truth was that the FAA didn't notify it until 9:03, why would they have said back on September 18th, 2001, and then continued to repeat for years after that, that they had been notified at 8:43.
Zeta Holm asks a question about the Pentagon. He reads, I'm very interested in the Pentagon that day. Why did they, whoever, crash a plane into the Pentagon? What is in those broken walls? What did they destroy? That's actually an interesting question, because it harkens back to, I think, the first official conspiracy theory regarding the attacks, the first well-constructed conspiracy theory that covered the attacks in general, not just the little itty-bitty attributes of how the buildings fell and what hit the Pentagon. The theory is that there were conflicting cabals or groups within the Defense Department or some other deep dark agencies that are within the Pentagon that were at odds with each other, and it was heating up. Apparently, one group was indeed involved in the support of international terrorism, just as we saw the support of the Contras in South America. And something went wrong. There was a need to wipe out an operation, and that was actually the cause of the attack on the Pentagon. And in order to make the entire event appear to be an attack by fundamentalist terrorists, they were indeed used, and they also attacked buildings in New York as a cover to make sure that the entire operation appeared to be an attack by global Islamic terrorists. That theory itself appeared, I got to say, on a site called conspiracy.net. I think that's where it was, which, by the way, is no longer active. And rumormillnews.com, which was much more active then than it is now. And above top secret, I'm sorry, it wasn't much back then. Maybe, you know, 40 to 50 posts a day. So not much was happening on ATS at the time. And oddly enough, that particular theory is nowhere to be found. So it certainly was interesting, and it apparently, at least at the time, appeared to be coming from someone connected who knew something about it. So that's something to consider and to wonder what happened to that theory.
This is Benevolent Heretic at AboveTopSecret.com. Skeptic Overlord, I have a question about 9/11. I know you have said you have a friend who saw something that day. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I would like to hear it again. Was it the Pentagon, or was it at the World Trade Center? And if it was at the Pentagon, did he actually see an airliner hit the Pentagon? Was he at an angle that he could see the actual crash? Or did he see an airplane flying low? I haven't decided what I believe about the Pentagon situation that day. So I would like to hear again what exactly your friend saw. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a close, very close family member who lives in Washington, and he was on the highway and saw the plane, saw what he firmly believes was a passenger airline, and that it was angling and heading towards the Pentagon. The lawn that it flew over was within his line of sight. But he then, between, the Pentagon was not actually in his line of sight, situated where he was. I think he said there was a bus in the way or something like that. So he did not actually see the impact, but he certainly saw the aftermath and gave testimony to some investigators. But he was pretty shooken up about it. He and I talked that evening, and you know, he projected that he saw faces in the windows, but he realizes that's just his brain playing tricks. But interesting enough, one of the things he mentioned to me is that the approach of the aircraft appeared to be rather professional, really well done, and unusual for maybe an amateur pilot to be able to fly it that way. And that's also part of the Pentagon conspiracy that I'm following myself, in that, yes, certainly was a passenger airline, I believe, but possibly either under control, the terrorist who was piloting either had help, or really was a much more expert pilot than we were led to believe. Bothered has a question. I would like to hear about how the USS Cole attack was regarded an isolated incident by extremists, but later the connection to the World Trade Center became apparent. And now that the signs are in place, why wasn't a preemptive attack on U.S. regarded as more significant? In other words, did they expect 9/11, but not to the point of knowing its severity or impact on socially inclined motivations to question authority? Good and complex question. If you, again, this is the part of researching historical conspiracies. During the Cole attack, the conspiracists of the era believed that this was a government-sponsored attack, where we acquired the aid of terrorists to attack the coal as a means to literally begin the sponsorship of a need to stay on top of terrorists and keep the military-industrial engine fueled in a way that was never has been before with this mystery enemy out there, international fundamentalist terrorists. And that was the talk of the day. So in the conspiracy circles, the coal attack certainly was not isolated. It was among the individual items, the Iranian hostage crisis, one of them as well, that sort of begins, from a conspiracy standpoint, the path to where we are now, where terrorism is used as a pretext for keeping the military engine fueled and literally controlling the population. October has a question. I would just like to know how this whole event actually became the subject of a conspiracy in the first place. What made people start thinking that there was more to it than what we're told? I guess, in a nutshell, how did it start? That's a very good question. I think from a conspiracy standpoint, purely the tinfoil crowd, we knew right away that something was fishy. And we started talking about it, and as the conspiracy people started digging and seeing that there was more to this than what we're being told, and more people discovered these things when they did internet searches on 9/11. The first 6 months after 9/11 were relatively quiet from a from an amateur conspiracy standpoint, if you will, where it was mostly the longtime conspiracy theory people analyzing, speculating, and considering what else there was. And over time, there were a lot of people that became interested in conspiracy theory as a result of what they were finding on these internet searches into 9/11. And that's where the so-called amateur conspiracy theorists that I tend to call them. I know, I'm an elitist, aren't I? It's just terrible. That's where they jumped in, and we started getting this plethora of conspiracy content online. And that's sort of the genesis of how the 9/11 conspiracy became such a huge topic online, where it was just a result of, I think, people discovering some of the pure conspiracy discussion and extending that and adding to it, and we all know the story after that. Blackguard 13 asks two questions. Why did those charged with protecting the U.S. airspace, that is NORAD, not respond as per standard operating procedure that day? The long delay hasn't been explained to me convincingly. For a comparison, see the Payne Stewart Learjet tragedy response times. Yes, I agree. That is a discrepancy, and I'm glad someone asked that question. There's a lot of excuses for why the response was not faster, swifter, and more decisive. For example, the aircraft going after Flight 93 only had their cannons. They did not have any missiles on board, so the best they could do possibly once they caught up, disable it, or hopefully ram into it, if that was, or not hopefully, but as a last resort, ram into it with their aircraft. So the response certainly seems like it could have been better, given the fact that we had intelligence that terrorists were going to use aircraft to attack the U.S. We had hijacked aircraft, and they were flying towards populated areas. Certainly a need for a swift response. On the other hand, the two aircraft flying into New York were overpopulated areas. The call to shoot them down had to have been difficult. If you shoot those aircraft down, they're going to kill people somewhere, and I'm sure there was hesitation involved. Whether that hesitation was a planned part of a conspiracy or just incompetence, we don't know, but it certainly is an interesting question. Also, were all 8 black boxes totally unusable? I thought we had some black box data from the Pentagon crash. I could be wrong. I really haven't, I must admit, followed that aspect of the conspiracies and the details. So I must say, I don't know about that one as well as I should. I'm sorry. And hopefully someone with a microphone will jump in with a little more information on that.
Are to challenge this idea that this was an intelligence failure and put it into its proper historical framework of a state-level sophisticated covert operation. And the history of those covert operations through the last five administrations, starting with Carter and Brzezinski in the operations of the Mujahideen and also the Contragate scandal. And many of the Contragators are back in power. These were financed jointly by U.S. and Saudi intelligence, Pakistani ISI, drug money, and Otto Reich and Poindexter and Powell himself. All of these and others in the current administration were part of these covert operations that I believe led into the current situation we're in. So taking a look at that, taking a basic look at the suspects in the plot, I would argue we do not yet know the true identity of the 19 people on the planes. I don't believe that they didn't get on the plane, but I believe that when you don't know their true identity, to have a report like this track them back through time encourages in what's called in intelligence parlance a legend. It's like the false Oswalds. They go someplace, they use a particular identity, they establish a trail that you are meant to follow, but it's a trail that gives you false sponsorship for the event. And in covert operations, you spend more time on that false sponsorship than you do on the event itself.
That was John Judge, for those who may not recognize the voice. Getting into the last few questions here. Harlem Hadi, have you heard the rumor that Mayor Giuliani took a team of guys into the World Trade Center prior to the weekend and rigged whatever explosives were used on 9/11? Is there any proof? Do you believe this? No, I don't. I don't. No, I think that's crazy. And there's a lot of crazy things like this that keep cropping up in relation to 9/11. And if anyone did go into the buildings, it certainly wasn't Mayor Giuliani. I think his time could be properly accounted for. The mayor of New York City tends to be a busy guy every day of the week, so I don't think that has any validity. Also, why didn't the emergency alert system, formerly known as the emergency broadcast system, kick in? Actually, it did in New York. There was an announcement. I don't think it actually happened on every station. Not everyone used it, but there was an emergency broadcast system tone and message here in New York. I don't think it was anyplace else, not even in Washington. And again, some New Yorkers might want to chime in and say, yes, indeed, we did hear that.
All right, this is Zed, and sorry for the crappy quality, but I don't have my microphone with me. Anyway, my question really is about the organized groups that promote a lot of 9/11 conspiracy theories, and what are your thoughts on some of those being organized specifically for the purpose of creating disinformation and misleading people from actual real research that's going on with 9/11. I know I'd be interested to hear your thoughts, and I think a few of our other members would as well. So if you can answer that, that'd be great. And that's it. Peace.
That appears to be the stock question for moderators. We come in peace. Added to the thread, many speculate that a considerable portion of the information in regards to 9/11 across multiple media is deliberately propagated disinformation, the designed effect being that when single bits of truth are found, they are lost amongst the terabytes of noise. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this phenomenon, and if you believe it exists, to hear you speculate on who or what is responsible for organizing it and how. And Nerdling also asks, do you believe there is a conspiracy by the federal government in which it creates increasingly ludicrous 9/11 theories and plants them on the internet in order to discredit those with legitimate questions regarding the events of the day? I think we have three factors going on here. The first factor is a concern for anyone who tries to be an objective observer and analyst of the data, and that is, unfortunately, these organized groups like the 9/11 Scholars for Truth and the 9/11 Truth Movement and so on, and other people like the group that made the Loose Change video and all the other videos and books and seminar series and everything related to 9/11 conspiracy theory, is that when you set yourself up as trying to prove something in order to continue the validity of the existence of your group, you need to have to continue trying to prove something. And if an item becomes unprovable, then in many cases we see that, I'm not saying these groups do it, but in the past we've seen groups like those related to UFO research where material is fabricated as a means to continue the valid viability of the group itself. So, you know, they need to feed the engine if they're continued to exist. If they don't exist, there's nothing to do. So it's a vicious circle. And we certainly see hints of this in maybe not so much the scholars, which seems to be trying to bring a more sober approach to researching 9/11 conspiracy theory. But in many of the websites associated with the 9/11 Truth Movement, we certainly see what appears to be a single-minded approach towards preconceived notions of issues such as controlled demolition, bombs in the building, missiles hitting the Pentagon, or pods on the planes, things like this, where they go into the situation with a preconceived theory and continue to try to push that theory rather than look at evidence or even ideas or thoughts that might conflict with that. And for all the good that they're trying to do, I do think they're hurting themselves by operating this way. And that is a problem that is a factor in the fact that there's a lot of noise out there. And the second item that I alluded to earlier are the amateur conspiracists. There is a considerable number of people online who are involved in 9/11 conspiracy theory purely for entertainment value. Whether they realize it or not, whether they are able to come to their own self-aware epiphany that, oh my God, I'm in this just for fun, or not is yet to be decided, but there's a lot of people purely obsessed with 9/11 conspiracy theory, and again, they follow the same path where they begin with a preconceived notion after seeing some of the videos or some of the twisted evidence that there must be bombs in the building, or there must be a missile that hit the Pentagon, or things like that, and they tend not to listen to alternatives. I think if we are going to understand what really happened, every single possible alternative must be open to consideration. Without doing that, there's no way we can ever be certain that we've looked at everything and we know what the reality is. And the third thing I do believe really is a very possible aspect of what's going on, and especially as we consider back to the very beginning where conspiracy theorists were fingered early on as a source not to be believed, is that the, maybe not the government, but groups, individuals or small departments somewhere, some deep dark corner, some covert operation, could be involved in planting really crazy conspiracy theory ideas out there on the internet. As Nerdling says, speculates in his question, purely to discredit all other possible real 9/11 conspiracy theories. Because once you have some really crazy theories out there, it's easy to give a blanket statement to conspiracy theorists in general that, they're crazy. You know what? They believe that the Pentagon was hit with a missile. Can you believe that? So those, you know, and then with that one bit of discrediting information, suddenly in one sweeping swipe of rhetoric, all possible conspiracy theories are swept under the rug. And it's easy to do that. Politicians do that every day. So I think it's a threefold problem that certainly is what we have to deal with on a daily basis, and trying to stay objective and finding anything that could ring true. I'm getting close to, I'm at 55 minutes right now, as a matter of fact, so I don't want to take too much more time. So one more question from Umgaz. I'd really like to hear your thoughts on what it was like to write your personal account on the events of 9/11. He's referring to the account I posted in the thread, 9/11 member stories. It was hard. It was very hard. I couldn't do it in one sitting. I couldn't do it in two sittings. It took several sittings to write that. When the thread was started, he alerted me to it, and I wrote the first paragraph. couldn't keep going. If you read my account, it was a very tense office environment. When you work in an office environment in New York City, especially in any situation where there's 50 or more people, and I think at the time there's like 65 people at our company, the situation is that literally everybody knows someone or a relative of someone who works in that building, and there's so many people work there and live close to it that it is just impossible not to be involved in business in Manhattan without knowing somebody who works there. I think there's a statistic somewhere that of all the businesses in Manhattan who have an external sales force or anything like that, almost 50% of all the individuals that engage in that at their company have gone to meetings at the World Trade Center. So that's how popular and indispensable the buildings were to business in Manhattan. So imagine 50 or so people all gathered around televisions, just, you know, stressed to the max, worrying for their friends that either work there or their friends who are firemen and police who are responding to it, seeing the buildings fall, you know, screams in the office, people fainting. It was intense, and it was really, really, really hard to spend time recalling that. And judging by the accounts in that amazing thread, it is worth everyone's time to spend a couple hours, and that's what it will take, reading through that thread to get a sense as to what it was like to experience that firsthand. I know there's a lot of members that I don't want to say didn't have that benefit, but in a way, looking back, it's sort of the thing where you're feeling fortunate that in many ways you experienced the humanity and the camaraderie of the people around you that you were consoling and who were consoling you. Unfortunately, it happened, and certainly we all wish that it didn't happen, but there is a unique connection to humanity that you feel in having been involved in that, volunteering to help, which we did several times, both myself and as our firm did. And just reading those responses, it's a unique event that is terrible, terrifying, and uplifting at the same time. With that, I'm going to leave you with some words that are now almost 5 years old from Congresswoman Lee.
Mr. Speaker, members, I rise today really with a very heavy heart, one that is filled with sorrow for the families and the loved ones who were killed and injured this week. Only the most foolish and the most callous would not understand the grief that has really gripped our people and millions across the world. This unspeakable act on the United States has really forced me, however, to rely on my moral compass, my conscience, and my God for direction. September 11th changed the world. Our deepest fears now haunt us. Yet I am convinced that military action will not prevent further acts of international terrorism against the United States. This is a very complex and complicated matter. Now, this resolution will pass, although we all know that the president can wage a war even without it. However difficult this vote may be, some of us must urge the use of restraint. Our country is in a state of mourning. Some of us must say, let's step back for a moment. Let's just pause just for a minute and think through the implications of our actions today so that this does not spiral out of control. Now, I have agonized over this vote, but I came to grips with it today, and I came to grips with opposing this resolution during the very painful yet very beautiful memorial service. As a member of the clergy so eloquently said, as we act, let us not become the evil that we deplore.